Okay, so we're live. Welcome back to the Magic Moments podcast. You're watching and listening to the Liberty's number one podcast. Yup, the Liberty's. Yup, the Flats. On the show today, I'm joined by my pal, an inspirational woman, a powerful woman within the Liberty's community, Lisa Callagher. How are you, Lisa?
How are you?
Yeah. How are you getting on? Yup, the Flats.
I'm good.
Are you good?
Yeah.
Guys, before we get into that, I just want to thank podcastdublin.ie. We're back in the studios here. They run an incredible service. Matt is behind the camera over there doing the magic. Steph is probably out in his office practicing Brazilian dancing or something that he's into, being an Italian schmood mover. But look, on a serious note, if you are interested in starting your own podcast or any film production, give Podcast Dublin a shout. The services that they provide is studio, a beautiful studio, an amazing studio, and the services. They also do training for anyone wants to start up their own podcasts, and they do podcast editing, video editing. If you've done a podcast at home and you want them to clean it up, help you get that out there, these are your guys, so give them a shout. podcastdublin.ie. bam bam bam. Now to the start of the show, I'm absolutely gonna make you cringe here.
I can't believe the butterflies I have now sitting here, but that won't be cringe.
But you do exactly what people do the opposite to. You feel the butterflies, you feel the nerves, and you step into it. That's why I've asked you to come on the show.
Okay.
You are an inspiration to me. You and Sandra started up the charity Shannon's Hope Line in 2013. Your niece took her life by suicide. Mm. You went on and done an amazing thing. You're a powerful woman in our community, and you inspire me. And I think you're deadly. And I'm delighted to sit back down with you again.
Thanks. Thank you.
Yeah, this is our second interview. The last one we done, the 4th of June, 2018.
In your flat, yeah.
Yeah, we're a little...
Sandra, yeah.
We're a little GoPro camera.
Yeah, just coming up on the bus, like, I was like, God, it's amazing now, like, how far you have come too. And then I said, so we're going into a studio now, and it was in your flat. Like, there was no even video. We were just talking. We were talking into just the mic, wasn't it?
Yeah. I had a podcast mic. I just put it down on a box.
Yeah.
That a lad in the job made for me. Just stuck it on the box. We pressed record.
Yeah.
And we went for it.
And it was the start.
That was number 10, the interview.
Was it?
Yeah.
10, yeah. I know. It was great, yeah.
Yeah. I've known you for 25 years.
Yeah.
And to see how far you have come as a human, as a woman in my community, it kind of blows me mind. Because you think us growing up, the stuff we used to do and to carry on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And look where you are now. Do you ever take a look back, as Steve Jobs says, we can only join the dots when we look back. Do you ever look back at your life and go, fuck, I'm super proud of myself. Is that something you would say?
I'd say, yeah. I'd say over the last year, I've kind of, like, you know, seen the water. Sandra and I are doing and seeing what we do in the community as well. Yeah, I am. I'm fairly proud of it. Proud of Shannon's Hope Line. Yeah. Yeah.
I just took a picture for this, a show art.
Don't say that.
No, I think it's really important. Women need to hear this. Men need to hear this. You've seen that picture. And what did you say?
I said, I look gorgeous.
You do look fucking gorgeous.
Have you got the filter on it?
No filter. Zero filter.
That was a joke.
I was delighted to hear you say that.
Yeah, you recognise
we look good in that picture. And where we grew up as children, as teenagers, you wouldn't say that.
You'd be slayed
if you say that. You recognise how well you look. I look great. You look great. You're just a lovely picture.
Yeah.
No, I was delighted to hear you say that.
Yeah. No, I have learned to love myself.
Beautiful.
It's like, because when I was younger, I used to think I was ugly. I didn't think much of myself. I suffered with my mental health as well. And then I ended up with it. My favourite story was the ugly duckling that grew into a beautiful swan. I even say, and actually my sister Stella bought me the book for my birthday last year, and then I got a tattoo. I actually got a tattoo of a swan as well, because of the way I used to think of myself, and I didn't think I was worth much. And I never thought much of myself. And then as I got older, then I've learned to love myself now.
It's great.
Yeah, it is a good feeling.
It's a great feeling. Even to hear you say it, I was buzzing. Because like you, I would have thought I was an ugly duckling. Yeah. My favourite song years ago was Phil Collins. Yeah. Take a Look at Me Now. Because I used to feel shy. And now I'm sitting in a podcast doing this interview with you, my business going well, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I look and I say to myself, well done, take a look at me now. Yeah. I was going out there 2 weeks ago and I looked in the mirror and I caught myself in the mirror and I thought, wow, I look good, yeah, aesthetically. And then I said to myself, you've turned into the man that you've always wanted to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind, compassionate, helpful. And then obviously I thought I looked great as well.
You do look great, man.
Isn't it great to be able to say that? Yeah. It took you long enough to fucking say it. But isn't it great to be able to do that?
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
our kids see us, Larkin's sitting over there, my daughters hear me saying it.
Yeah.
They see us loving ourselves,
yeah,
doing kind things for ourselves, treating ourselves the way we should be and the way we always should have been. Yeah. And then we can inspire them to love themselves, isn't it? We live from the front.
Like when I do think back, I do get very emotional when I think of myself as a child and what I taught myself. You know, I do feel really sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
Tell us a little bit about that. But, it feels okay.
I'd done a meditation one time in a child's healing, and it was actually Louise meditation I was doing it with. And,
Louise Warren?
Yeah, Louise Warren, yeah. And yeah, she said go back in the meditation. We had to go back to ourselves as 10-year-old. And I went back in the meditation and I just seen myself sitting on the couch and me big blue eyes and me innocent face and how I felt about myself. And it was just so, and I had to go up and give her a hug and tell her that everything was going to be okay. And, you know, and it was just, it was the best feeling. Like in the meditation, giving myself a hug saying everything's going to be okay. But just my heart kind of went out to myself, you know, as a child. You know?
It's beautiful, isn't it? To go back to that part of you, because that's still residual, those childlike feelings, those childlike reaction of biochemistry to the past is still there. Mm-hmm. And then for you to be the adult, the guardian, the minder of that, you went back and went, here, come here. Mm-hmm. I love you. And it's about loving those parts.
It is, yeah. Yeah, it is.
It's incredible.
Yeah. That's why I try to instill in me boys as well. You know, you can do anything and have confidence and all, because I just never had that, you know.
Because we grew up in an environment that didn't foster that.
Yeah.
And I don't, me and you have loads of conversations. We're not interested in blaming people. No. It is what it is.
Yeah.
They done their best. People done their best. Their community done their best. But it didn't serve as well. And now we're like, okay, let's change that. Let's break the generational cycle.
Yeah.
Like, you don't just talk about being a good woman. You don't talk about just working hard. You're a good woman and you work hard. And kids do what we do, not what we say. Yeah. So you're inspiring from the, you're leading from the front.
Yeah.
How's life for you at the moment? What's going on?
Yeah, life is good. Life is good. Charity's going well. Also involved in the Liberties Running Group as well. That's really after taking off. Shout out to David, Jenny and Keith.
Up the Liberty Running Club. Up the flats.
Yeah, had our first 5K event yesterday and just amazing day. Amazing day. Start to finish, the smiles on everyone's faces. It was just brilliant to see people who hadn't ran before running 5Ks. Brilliant. And then, we're also with the charity then. We're getting our new premises. So, that's going to be a lot of work. So we're going to have our play therapy room and we're going to have another council room. So we're just 7 years now waiting to have our own building. So, it's really exciting. Really exciting.
As I said, I was saying to the listeners, viewers before, that we've had you on 2018.
Yeah.
Was our first interview, you and Sandra.
Yeah.
Would it be okay just to do a little step back and talk about how it all got started? We won't get too much into what we spoke about before, just to kind of remind people, in 2013, you guys started the charity. Tell us a little bit about why and for people.
Well, on the 24th of January 2012, my niece, Shannon, Sandra's daughter, she died from suicide and she was age 13. Terrible time for us at that time, and even the whole community, everyone was affected, you know. It was around 2013, and Sanja said to me, will we do something, like, because she was after, like, researching about suicide, and then she didn't realise, like, how much suicide, how, like, young people were taking their own lives. Like, it wasn't publicised, it was just through research and stuff like that. So, like, hats off to Sandra now. Like, she inspires me every day. I'd love you to get her on the podcast and tell her story as well. And I'm raging she's not here today.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, yeah. But I tell you, she's also an inspire. She inspires me every day.
She used to inspire me. She said to me one time, and she genuinely said, and I could see her in her eyes, that she was happy.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. Yeah. Your daughter took her life by suicide and you're now happy.
Yeah.
And that would be against what the social norms.
Yeah.
Oh, you're happy and your daughter died. That pressure for a woman, for a man, for someone. To say that, I was thinking, fucking, that's incredible.
Yeah. No, she amazes me every day. And then she asked me, which I was privileged, she asked me out of everyone to, did I want to come on board and like help out? And I just said, yeah, straight away. So yeah, it took us a long time behind the scenes and meeting different people and, you know, and people telling us we were too ambitious, what we wanted to achieve. And so we kept going and we kept going. I think it was then 2017, I gave up my job then and I said to Sandra, you know, and then we just started by, we done workshops in the Robert Emmett down in Oliver Bond there.
Yeah.
We done some mindfulness bullying courses and then, met then Catherine, who I went to school with, and she was actually after setting up Mosaic Counselling. So had a meeting with her and then it just progressed from there. Then we started with the counselling service and we got a charity status in 2018. And we're just growing and growing each year. And yeah, just we have our office based in the Little Flower. We've counselling Sick to have given us a room on South Dale Street, so play therapy and adolescence therapy there. And then Mosaic Crumlin also do counselling up there for us too.
Lovely.
So this is why it's exciting now, getting this new building from DCC. We're going to have it all under the one roof,
yeah,
which will be great. We're not going to be all separated, mm-hmm. which is, it's just to build a good team. And yeah, it's just, it's good times ahead.
What was going on for you inside when someone says to you, oh, you're a charity, yeah, you're a little bit ambitious? Because I know you have applied for funding. You have been chasing people forever.
Yeah.
What was it like for you and Soy when someone says that to you are too ambitious?
Me and Sandra were sitting in the coffee shop and I was drinking coffee and then we were told this. I'm not going to say who said it, but we were told this anyway. And I nearly just choked on my coffee. And Sandra was just, no, but we just literally walked out of the coffee shop and we're still doing it. Like, we just... We were a bit disappointed, like, that people kind of didn't believe in it and they were just thinking, oh, here's now someone else setting up a charity in memory of someone. It's another charity. And then we were told there's enough mental health services out there. You have Jigsaw, you have Pieta House, but the waiting lists, and then you have primary care centres as well, but the waiting lists, like, even when we get parents ringing us, like, and you know, I've used services in the past myself and I've been waiting up to a year. And, you know, and it's just being able to give them that lifeline and, like, just saying to them, like, you know, like, yeah, we can provide the counselling for you. So it's just great.
There's two parts. I'll come back to one piece in a minute. If you think back on all the, I think you're going about 11 years now, aren't you?
Yeah.
So 11 years, right? How many times have you been told no? You know, I just want to highlight this for anyone that's interested in starting a charity, starting a business, start saying, you just have faced no, 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 barrier, barrier, barrier.
Yeah.
So many times, right? Would you agree?
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. I mean, it was disheartening. Like, it really was. And you're going to different, like, people and you're asking and then you're getting told no, and then you do question, are you doing the right thing? You know, but perseverance. I mean, look now, you know, we're helping people in the community, and it's just great. And like Shannon's name will live on, and she's helping so many people. Like, and it's horrible just what happened to Shannon for this to come about.
Of course.
Do you know what I mean? Like, we wish that that didn't happen, but yeah, she's helping so many people. And even like setting up Shannon's Hope Line, like, it helped me with my own mental health. Like, and it made me understand myself more better. And it's just, yeah.
You've grown exponentially in this process. But here's the thing, you and I come from a place, not geographically, but even just in our own experience, we don't like asking for help. We don't like asking
Yeah,
for
that's one thing we said,
going up with your begging bowl.
You have to ask, we hate.
Think, like, even I worked in the hospital, people with disability had to fight to get a medical card. Yet they had a brain injury, the hemiplegia, they're paralyzed on one side, and they still had to beg for a fucking medical card.
Yeah.
You guys have lost your niece by suicide. You're trying to start something good.
Yeah.
You can bridge the gap between mental health into other services, because not everyone's going to get into Pieta House or Jigsaw.
Yeah.
And you have a specific need in an area. Like, counselling and that kind of stuff is still difficult for people.
Yeah.
And someone that sounds like you, looks like you, sounds like Sandra, looks like Sandra, would make it feel safe for them to go into services, to go get help by a counsellor or psychotherapist. Yeah. And it's very much needed.
Yeah.
Because I've spoken to people about going to therapy and all. They're like, oh, not fucking hell. And you hear somebody with a certain accent, or whether they perceive them to be on a different level to them.
Mm.
Where you guys can help people in their area. Yeah. Bridge that gap. What do you think?
Yeah. No. And I think, like, a lot of people, because Shannon died from suicide as well, like, a lot of people would think we're very like Pieta House, but we're actually not. Like, we're early intervention, which is the key here. Like, it's about helping them before that problem becomes a crisis.
Brilliant.
It's like we're early intervention. So we deal with children like that are suffering with anxiety, like they're going through bullying, like they've no confidence in themselves, like body image. Like we deal with a number of issues. It's not just like if your child is suicidal, ring Shannon's Hope Line. Because that's kind of what Pieta House is, you know? So. Yeah. Well, we're early intervention, and I think we kind of have to get that point across more as well, you know?
Yeah. That it's before all this starts.
Yeah.
Do you think that Shannon's Hope Line and the development of the charity, do you think it mirrors your path in life and how you have grown and how you are now at a stage? Because you were the perfect one to start, and now you're at this point where it's grown and you have got your offices. And you as an individual is now really coming into fruition. You're really turning in and recognising your own brilliance. Do you think that they're mirroring each other along that?
Yeah, well, like especially because it's mental health and counselling. Like, when I was a teenager, I first got counselling at 15.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went to counselling. But I still didn't understand it was mental health, like... There wasn't that word put on it, mental health. And I remember then the counsellor asked me to draw a picture of me, like first pictures that came into my head. And I drew a picture of myself, and it was just a load of black around me. And I actually asked then, nobody even told me what the picture meant. And I actually asked the counsellor that we were working with, and she was like, you were depressed. And all that, because just setting up the mental health just made me realize like how much I suffered with my mental health. Does that make sense?
100%.
And counseling has helped me like in my 20s, my 30s, like, you know what I mean? And I go back, like, I'm actually in counseling now. Well, like when stuff gets tough for me, I go back to counseling.
It's two things. One is when I went to start to work in the National Rehab in 2010, 13, 12, 13, I couldn't walk on a journey with people that were going through disability if I wasn't willing to do the work myself.
Yeah.
So I recognised that I had difficulties. I want to take my life by suicide. The same year that Shannon took her life, I was on a boat to England.
Yeah.
Or the year before, and I wanted to take my life by suicide. I never knew I had mental health problems.
Yeah.
Because no one ever talked about mental health problems. Yeah. I always hear like people's mad, he's a fucking lunatic, he's off, he's
right. Yeah.
And I had a huge drinking drug problem. So we grew up and there wasn't that conversation.
Yeah.
But then when I started working in the hospital, and just like you did, how can I ask these people to walk with me and let me help them through rehab if I'm not willing to do the work myself?
Yeah.
And turn into my own difficulties and records. Because no one said to us when we were all mental health problems. I thought that was for just lunatics.
No, but I never actually heard the word mental health, if that makes sense. Like, mental. I don't feel right. I don't, you know, and then me shyness and you know, just no confidence in myself and all that. But I know what it stems from now, like doing the counselling and the reason why I felt like that, you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. And then when you do all that work, that's when like your confidence starts building, you start feeling good in yourself, and when you realize why you were the way you were.
Yeah, you said to me, we were having a cup of coffee, no we weren't, we were sitting in Patrick's Park one day,
yeah,
and it just hit me because I recognized this in myself one time. You said to me, someone said, and I don't think I'm breaching our conversation, you says to me, someone asked you at a meeting you were at, one of these meetings to do with the charity, what's your background?
Yeah, yeah.
And what you perceived, and I would perceive that to be, is what's your education? What degrees do you have? Yeah. Is it all right to talk about?
Yeah, yeah.
Tell us what that done to you. Like, my response to you was, you have the best qualification in the fucking room.
Yeah.
You have been through a bereavement. You have been through grief. No one is more qualified to start this charity than you. But yet someone was like, what's your background, what's your coffee, have you a psychotherapy degree, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And that lit you up, didn't it?
Because I was like,
it's already to ask.
Yeah, because do you ever get like you know, you're setting up the charity and me and Sam hadn't got a clue, like he just literally said, well, we're going to do this. But then we studied, we done courses like regarding the charity, because governance and everything else in the background, like we done this, and me and Sandra aren't counsellors, so that's when we walked with counsellors to provide the service. Like, but yeah, and I remember you saying it to me, and you actually made me feel better. Like it's Sandra and I's life experience. Like it doesn't matter. Like, you can go to university and do degrees and masters and all, but I think because we've experienced it, we've lived it.
Yeah.
And tongue tied.
No, that's all right. But this is the thing, right? I mean, I worked in the disability sector, and people like, you know, went through their rehab and all that. And I said, if you do this, get through your rehab and you go back to education, you'll be the most qualified person in the room. Not only do you have the lived experience, then you have your gun and badge. You have what's known as your gun and badge, the piece of certificate. Use done what you did, predicated on love.
Yeah.
After the pain, you went and started your own charity, and then you were standing with a lot of these people that have academia, what's your qualification?
Yeah.
That can be crushing for some people.
Yeah.
But you are atypical liberty sort of people. You're so resourceful. You're so fucking hardworking that you didn't stop.
Yeah.
That's inspiring. That's deadly shit.
Thanks.
Isn't it? But there's people out there that will face like starting a new business, starting a new opportunity, and people ask them, what's your qualification?
Yeah, I know.
Sometimes it's not all about that, is it?
Yeah. And it's good. It is good to get education. It is. But it's also, I think, life experience. I do believe in that. Like, because I remember when I worked in a homeless shelter and, you know, there was girls in it, and then there would have been key workers. I wasn't a key worker. And, you know, you'd have the key workers there, and they were from different areas, like, you know, that were outside Dublin East, and they had their degrees and their masters. But the girls had come to me to talk. Do you know what I mean? Because I was like from the area. I was like them, and they found it a lot easier.
They felt safer in your
body. Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
This was my point earlier when I was saying to you about you bridging the gap, because I was doing some work for a charity around Airway. I do talks, and they brought me in. I was speaking to one of the psychotherapists, and she was asking me about the pathway into therapy. How do we get these youngsters on the flats, or young ones on the flats, or away from flats? And I was saying, you need the likes of someone that probably sounds like Lisa, or looks like Lisa, or sounds and looks like me, that they can make it feel safer. You know, so they will come to you with a difficulty early intervention. You'll say, well, there's an opportunity here. You could do some counseling, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And they would say to you, do you do it? And you'll say, yeah, well, this is the benefit for me, blah, blah, blah. And same with me, and same with other people. And you can bridge that gap, like those people in the homeless centre or whatever. they feel safe in your company because you sound and look like them and you're kind and compassionate.
Yeah.
So it's really important, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think has been the hardest barrier for you in your organization? What kind of difficulties have you faced?
I suppose for setting up, you know, being told no, we this and that, and then also our resources as well, because currently it's just myself and Sandra, you know, that run it. Yeah, we have the counsellors there that provide the counselling service, but yeah, it's just really our resources. And then, like, so this is why it's so important now we're getting our own building. We'll be able to grow, hopefully take more staff on. Like, and yeah, just, yeah. So I think main obstacles was that.
In your observation, in your experience from 2013 to 2000, now we're in 2024, talk to us about the mental health increase in children. Has that gone up?
Yeah.
What's your thoughts around that?
Well, when we started in 2018, I think the first year we helped 65 children. Now, that would have been from the Liberties and maybe around surrounding areas, Dala, Crumlin and that. And then it went up and up. And then last year we had 125. Now we're seeing an increase in play therapy more than adolescents. This reason I don't know, you know what I mean? Like, I can't give the answer what the increase is. Like, I know COVID affected a lot of children, you know. I do think as well, like, just the society we're living in with social media and, you know, having to look a certain way and, you know, this and that. Like, I think that has affected. And I think as well, if, you know, family, if mental health is at home in the family as well, it is affecting the children too.
100%.
Yeah.
And my same charity, I was talking to this psychotherapist and we were talking about this. Yeah. And it's cool helping little Mary and little Johnny Rabber in school and giving them gratitude books and doing mindfulness and the bullying things. But if they're going home and there's in the unit, family, in the environment.
Yeah.
And this is no blame to parents.
No.
I know people ask me, what's the greatest thing we could do to help kids?
Yeah.
I says, help the parents.
Yeah.
Help the single mom, help the single dad, help the unemployed, help the people that are struggling to hold their mortgage down, blah, blah. Help the parents because they are controlling this little environment that little Johnny or little Mary is living in. So it's really hard for the kid if he comes to your anti-bullying class or your mindfulness class or that he's going home.
And yeah, it's in the house. Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. And that's why we were saying we'd love to bring in family therapy.
Absolutely.
Like, Sandra and I.
Support the mom, support the dad.
Yeah, because, like, you are helping a child, but then if you're helping the child and then there's something else going on, like, and I done family therapy with my two boys.
Yeah.
And, like you know, my two boys have been through a lot. Like, they've lost Shannon and then they've lost their dad, then, you know what I mean? So, like, they've been through a lot, you know, and, like, I have to say family therapy, like, just helped us so much. Like, and, like, I love the bond now I have with my two boys. Like, it's lovely.
And again, you're promoting and advocating counselling for yourself and the individual, but then you're also advocating and clearly describing the benefits as a family.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's because it's really important that if the kids coming home to this, that we're all on the same page, that everyone's doing the same work. And it's something that my family said to me, my dad, like, just prior to his passing, was like, thanks for doing the work. You've helped us heal.
Yeah.
Because, you know, growing up, my ma, your ma, that, they weren't taught how to talk about these kind of things, you know?
Yeah.
So then it's good for us to sit down with our kids and talk.
And it is. It's breaking the chain. And I do love now, like, the way we're more open about mental health. And I always remember Sandra telling me this. She says, you know, you talk to your child, like, don't talk to a stranger. Then you say to your child, like, don't drink or do drugs, don't smoke. But no one ever, like, sits down and says, like, well, like, talks about their mental health. And it should be a conversation. It should be in all families, like, you know.
If you want kids, you want your children or the little people in your life, if you want them to be skillful at emotionally regulating, you have to demonstrate that. Because they'll watch how you handle stress till watch how you handle conflict, how you handle success, how you handle. And we have to teach them that. And how can we teach them that? We haven't been taught by the people that were in charge of us. And again, no blame. Yeah, they didn't get it. So now we have to show them that this is how you handle stress, this is how you handle bullying. And has bullying increased in schools?
Yeah, we've seen a lot of bullying, there is a lot of bullying, I don't know what the answer is to bullying. And Sandra were just even talking about this the other day, like, what is it? Sandra was saying, I don't watch the soaps, but she was saying she was watching Coronation Street.
We don't watch Lily.
Don't, do you know? Oh, okay.
In case the TV license man is watching, I don't watch telly. I don't have a telly. Telly?
I just
sit there and meditate all day.
She was saying as well, like, you know, you can do, because we've done bullying, you know, and also the bullies need help as well. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know, and then this Coco's Law that's after coming out, that Jackie Fox done, which
love
is brilliant.
Lovely
woman, right? But it's still going on. I just haven't got the answer. I don't understand it. Like, I was bullied in primary. I was bullied, you know, which also affected me. But I'd love to have the answers.
Yeah.
You know, it's a hard one.
Yeah. I think the big piece is to support the children. I mean, support the kid that's being bullied, but also support the bully. Person.
The
family of the bullier and the family of it's a complex equation.
Yeah.
And it's not one that you're gonna sort out anytime soon. But the one thing you could do is to be kind and compassionate to them all.
Yeah.
Like it's bringing that kid home and seeing what the environment they go.
Exactly.
Because I truly believe, from someone that experienced abuse, sex abuse, violence, I believe hurt people hurt.
Yeah.
I know that might be hard for people to digest.
No, but it is. It's interesting.
Hurt. It is. How do I know that, Lisa? Yeah. Because I hurt people.
Yeah.
I was hurt. I bullied people. I fucking made people's life a misery. I broke people's hearts because I was hurt.
Yeah.
And only now that I recognise that, I wouldn't do that again. But that's probably a little bit hard to open up for people, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Because automatically people say, the bully are that, you know what I mean? They're like they automatically think they're the bad person. But if you look at the bigger picture, you just really, really don't know what's going on for them.
No, you don't. And it's easy to, here's the thing with kids, and I won't speak too close to home, but I know some person has a child, has mental health difficulties. Okay. All the attention is going on the kid, their behavior, how do you fix them? No one is taking responsibility for creating or shaping that environment.
Okay.
Sometimes a lot of the attention goes on the kids or the bullier. But what about the parents, the environment?
Yeah.
And take the pressure off the kid, the kid being bullied or the kid bullying.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I think, not sure. I mean, I find now, even kids get angry, and then parents and all do say to them, why are you getting angry? Don't get angry. But us as humans and all get angry. So, yeah. I mean, they're allowed to get angry.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I was told that as a kid.
I don't, do you get what I'm saying? So you kind of have to let them, do that. You know, I think I went off subject there, didn't I?
No. It's around the parents.
Yeah.
Allowing the kids to just express whether they're hungry, whether they're horny, whether they're happy, whether they're thirsty. They're all the fucking same. I was having a conversation with my mom yesterday. You know, my dad had passed in January. And she said to me, I've decided. And I says, go on, Ma. And she says, from tomorrow, I'm going to just either one day a week or a couple of days a week that I'm going to allow myself to cry.
Yeah.
Really? What? She goes, yeah. I need to get myself together. I have to stop this crying because it's not fair on your dad that has passed. It's not fair on you. I love you too much to allow you to do that madness. I says, I tell you what I'll do for you. I says, pick a day where you'll be kind and compassionate to yourself all day long.
Yeah.
I see that may be missing.
Yeah.
And she goes, really? And I says, what do you think?
Yeah.
She goes, I don't know any day that I do that.
Yeah.
I says, but yeah, you want to give yourself a hard time about crying, about falling apart. I says, you would never cry. In all the time I've known you, your mother had passed away years ago. I said, did you have a grave? And she goes, no, I never. And now she's coming along, her husband that she's married to 50 years, and she's going to give herself a task of not crying.
You cry when you want to cry.
So this is the environment she grew up in, that crying was a vulnerability. You don't cry, it's a weakness.
Yeah.
Now her husband died, the only person she's ever loved, and she's now putting herself under the ringer, not crying.
Yeah.
That's the generation that we've been ruled by. What's your thoughts around that?
Yeah. And I think that generation as well, they didn't understand mental health. So they couldn't teach it. Like you do see it in the older generation, even like I think they still don't understand mental health. Yeah. You know what I mean? But it's a completely different.
Like my ma said that she's not going to cry at the funeral. She's not going to let anyone see her crying. And he says, ma.
But why? Like why?
Because she perceives that as a weakness. I'm falling apart. I told your dad that I wouldn't fall apart. And I said, I wouldn't want you to do that.
No, she showed her emotions.
She didn't. She said, I'm not going to let anyone.
It's only natural to cry.
She's trying to control this. I said, Matt, it's like trying to control your breathing. I said, try stop breathing for a few days. See how you get on. And she says, what do you mean? I said, same with the crying, same with sweating, same with fucking blinking your eyes. I said, you can't. Your body just needs to do what it needs to. Bless her. Bless her.
My
ma didn't think that telling me or my brothers that they loved them was something that we had to do. We grew up in that. And they weren't told they were loved. It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And then we come along with our mental health stuff and it seems like we're battering them or giving them a hard time.
Yeah.
Difficult.
Yeah.
But what do we do? We be compassionate, right?
Yeah, 100%.
What's the plan for Shannon's Hope Line going forward?
Keep up with the counselling service. We also do the teens fitness and wellness as well. I'm very passionate as well about fitness and nutrition with mental health too. So that's something that we want to bring in, you know, get better with Chris, who was meant to come on your podcast.
Yeah. We'll get him on.
Yeah.
Will you talk him into it?
I will, I will. Now Chris have been called out. he does the teens where he talks about nutrition. I do, one thing that's helped me through the years as well, my mental health, is the running. And then the fitness, of course, you still have to work on other things as well, but it's a big thing, I feel, for mental health too. You know, so that come in, and then, we've our social enterprise then, which we're open to do, like a takeaway coffee shop. And, you know, the funds from that will go in to help run Shannon's Hope Line, you know. We hate asking for money.
Give us more money.
Yeah.
Give us more money.
Yeah.
Did you not bring a begging bowl with you?
No. So, we do. I have to say, the community that we have is brilliant. They're always doing something for us, you know. We'd be lost without them. Yeah, and I mean that, even yesterday with the runner, that wasn't about charity, that running club yesterday. And then Paul Mooney then from Meat Street went around, got prizes. They done a raffle then afterwards after the running club and raised money for us.
For Shannon's Hope Line.
Yeah. And Noel's Deli and stuff like that. He always does the booker for us. You have John and the Larkin, always big supporters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then Liberty Inc. and Francis Street. We've been so, so lucky.
Yeah. It's deserving because it's resonance.
Yeah.
What you put out, you get back. It's predicated on love. You didn't do this to make money. You've done it for to help people, to support the cause of Shannon. So it just comes back to you.
Yeah.
It's resonance, as they say. Yeah. You said to me there a minute ago that you have a kind of a ritual or what you do to stay on top of things, whether it be your mental health. Tell us, what do you do? What's your go-to things for keeping you? And all that keeps you healthy and well and looking so well and happy. How do we become as happy as Lisa? Mark, you give us a pen. I need to write this shit down. Come on, let's go.
No, I just train. I mean, the routine is 5 o'clock up, gym, training.
Many days a week?
I go to gym 3 mornings a week and then, run as well. I have 2 days rest day. So I take 2 days off, then Shannon's Hope Line, it's just helping people and, you know what I mean? It just being able to do that makes me feel happy. Yeah, and just having me beautiful family. And
do you pray?
I do pray.
You do. Is that a big part of your community?
Yeah.
About that?
Yeah. I pray for it. I did. I have to say, when Shannon passed, I remember when I seen her lying in the bed, and the first place I ran to was the church in Crumlin Hospital. And I just walked in and I screamed and I said, there's no gods. Like, how could you do this? You know, and I was just full of anger. And I remember there was a poor man at the back. He must have been praying for his child, bless him. And it was only a few months later, but your man looked terrified at the back of the church, because I just lost it in the church. And I just always was amazed, like, that was the first place I ran to. I ran away from everyone, like, just the church. And it was 6 months later then, I kind of had a bit of a breakdown, and then I went and got counselling and I got my faith back. But yeah, I pray all the time. I always light my candles. I love the peace of a church.
Here.
There, when there's nobody in it.
Me too.
Yeah, and you just go in.
And Meet Street Church?
At John's Lane, I like to sit in, yeah.
You go to the posh one.
And there used to be actually a church in the ILAC Centre as well.
What?
Yeah, under the library they used to be.
What
so
is that?
Yeah, in the middle of all, like, if you're going out shopping, it's gone now. I was going mad, I went, and I used to sit in there as well.
Start a petition to get that.
Yeah.
But, cards.
Yeah, it just gives me peace. I have my faith, and yeah, it makes me happy.
I was in Mead Street Church. I do the same as you. I go in just for the peace. My coffee be getting made up in Catherine's. Shout out to Catherine's Bakery and Mead Street.
Yeah, Catherine's house does make coffee.
Yeah. So I said, make me two coffees for me and Sean. And I was over in the church and just go over and have a little sit down. But sometimes I lie down. So I was lying on the bench there one day, and this homeless fella come up and tapped me on the foot, and he was giving me a sandwich. He thought that I was a homeless fella as well. He's like, here, get it. Yeah, it was lovely. I was in there just getting a little bit of a peace, looking at me back and a rest.
Yeah.
He came up and was offering me a sandwich. So I don't know if he was being nice or I just looked like a homeless person.
Was that bless him?
Yeah, bless him.
He was looking after you.
Looking after you. It's cool. But that's what Meet Street does.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you ever get signs or ask for signs from Shannon? Is that something that you do?
I do ask for signs. Like, I'm a big thing. So Sandra got me kind of into the angel numbers. Sandra would be more... She was the one with the signs and stuff, and the angel numbers, and seeing the angel numbers and kind of taking them in and stuff and looking up the meanings. Yeah, I do. Like, I'm a firm believer, like, because my faith is so strong, and I feel like we're all we, and I know Shannon is with us all the time. Like,
do you believe she's here right now?
Oh, I do. I believe.
Yeah, she's here. Yeah. She's here. I feel.
I do believe as well, like, you know, when you want something and then it doesn't work out, that, okay, that's not meant to be. As before, I used to be like, oh, why didn't that happen? I just happened. But now I know, right, that's done now. There's something better there. Do you know what I mean?
And
that's a great thing to have, because, like, you know, this didn't work out. Okay, well, then that wasn't meant to be.
That wasn't meant to be. And that's what... That's the intellectual mind trying to control three-dimensional, the 3D length, breadth, height.
Yeah.
That's not how life works. We have to surrender.
Yeah.
As hard as it may seem for someone to take this in, Shannon's existence on this earth and that time was to do what was meant to happen.
Yeah.
Or use the start is that she sacrificed her being to be here. That's fucking hard. But out of that dark came something beautiful.
Yeah.
And she's here now.
Yeah.
Full of love.
Yeah.
And proud of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's incredible.
Ah, thanks, man. Emotion.
You are?
I get emotional then.
But that's unusual for us, isn't it, to get emotional? You know, it's not something that we were encouraged to do.
Yeah.
Talk about our anger. My ma didn't see me crying until I was 44.
Additional?
You know, I'm sure we seen me as a baby crying. Yeah. You all right?
Yeah, I'm grand, yeah.
You're an incredible.
That was something.
So is there anyone that you would like to give a shout out to before we wrap up?
A shout out to my inspiring sister Sandra.
Yeah.
Just everyone that kind of has helped us along the way and has been there for us and has believed in us. And yeah, and a big shout out to the Liberties Running Club. I love them all. That was a great bunch of people, I have to say. I love working with David, Jenny and Keith, and just the people in it is amazing. And yeah, just thanks.
I'm so, so proud of you. As a friend, as a human, you're an incredible woman. It's very hard to get a coffee with you because you're always running out doing shit. I think it'd be easy to get a coffee with fucking Michael D. Higgins or something. Every time I see you, I read
him. Not that bad.
Yeah, yeah.
I am. I'm this is dark. Sorry.
And he lives with you.
Even when you go, it's just sitting there.
Oh,
nah, look, honestly, I don't want to embarrass you anymore, but you're an incredible woman. You and Sandra inspire me no end. The way you have operated, the way you go about your life, you're so fucking selfless. Mm. You're selfless. Charity is the most selfless thing we can do, and it's incredible. So I'm delighted. I'm delighted for the Runner Club, Shannon's Hopeline, to be our friend, to watch you from a distance over the last 25 years. That sounds weird. I'm watching it. I can see it. No, but to see like our evolution.
No,
but yours.
You're doing great too. I'm very proud of you too, man.
Yeah, and isn't it?
No, and I mean that.
And I believe, and I like the Running Club. I'm so fucking proud of David,
yeah,
and Keith, and Jenny, and you, and what it's done for the community.
Yeah.
And it helps us grow, and we can do more of that for people in our community. Like, yeah. I love seeing someone in my area do well.
Yeah.
And I sing it. I'm so proud.
Yeah, it's great to see, because everything that's going on in the world and all, it's just lovely to see having a community like that.
This is what I believe to be the way to go about it. I create peace in me. I create peace in my community. I create peace in the community. It creates peace in our county.
Yeah.
And we look after ourselves, and then it just resonates right out into, because you embody what the Liberty Running Club is. You embody what Shannon's Hopeline. You just want to help and be kind and go about your life. And that just is infectious to everybody. It's incredible. It's deadly. So let's do more of that. Right. So that's a wrap. Unless you want to do a bit more crying.
No.
Thanks for being so vulnerable and being so honest. It's deadly. You're such an inspirational. And I hope there's women and men out there that see it and you're inspired, because that's what this is all about. Stories to have the power to inspire. You up the flats.
The butterflies are gone.
Are the butterflies gone?
They're gone.
Yeah. Now you.
No, I actually enjoyed that. It was lovely. It was lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Deadly. Right. So that's a wrap. I want to thank, if you watch and listen, please share this with family and friends. Get Shannon's Hopeline out there. All of my interviews since 2018 have all been sponsored. Shannon's Hopeline, they've been at the bottom of all our work, and we're so grateful to be part of your journey. Noel Riley from Rooney Media Graphics, who helped me so much start my business. It's all about remembering the people that have been good to you. And now I'm linked with podcastdublin.ie. So if you're interested in starting your own podcast, or you want help editing or training, or want to use this amazing studios, please give them a shout. Matt is the absolute business, and so is Stefano. So that's it. That's a wrap. Mind your little self. You up the flats.
Thank you.
Thanks to Larkin over there, taking pictures and keep an eye on us. Thanks to Matt behind the camera. You're an amazing dude. It's lovely to work with you. Have a whopper day. You up the flats.